Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Dr. Gary Carini. Dr. Carini is Baylor's Vice Provost for Graduate Professional Education and a longtime professor of management in the Handkammer School of Business. In May, he was given the charge by President Livingstone to oversee the completion and implementation of Illuminate, Baylor's academic strategic plan. Since that time, he's worked with more than 60 faculty members participating in design teams for the implementation of Illuminate. He continues to teach strategic management courses in Baylor's executive MBA programs in Austin and Dallas, and in his role as vice provost, he oversees a growing list of graduate professional programs that include nearly a dozen online programs in business, education, law, nursing, physical and occupational therapy, and social work. He's a very busy man, and he is with us here today on Baylor Connections. Dr. Carini, thanks so much for your time today.
It's great to be here. I appreciate it, Derek. Thanks.
Well, great to have you here and to talk to you a little bit more about the work you've done and some of the important work you're doing right now. But let's look back a little bit before we go forward. With transitions taking place in the provost office, as we said, you were given the charge in May to eventually complete and implement Illuminate. And this happened while the wheels are very much in motion for the implementation of Illuminate. There was a lot to be done in a short amount of time, and obviously, President Livingstone put a great deal of faith in your ability to do that. And as we go back, we kind of find out in part why you go with her back to your days as professors in the Handkammer School of Business.
Right.
Take us back a little bit to those days when you both worked together as professors. What stood out to you about her then, and how did those experiences shape the work you're doing right now?
So I would say right away, recognized her leadership ability soon after arrival. So we arrived in the early 90s when we were just 3 years old.
Sure.
Not really. And so had a chance to work with her, not only taught with her in the same department in our Department of Management, also did several research projects. We have several papers that are published in the area of management. So worked together in numerous ways. And about 1998, she was given the charge by the dean, Dean Terry Maness, who's there, of reconstituting the MBA program. And she asked me to join the team there. And then in 2002, when she moved to Pepperdine, I assumed the role of Associate Dean for Graduate Business Programs. But I would say certainly I admired back then her ability to build that collaborative team, given the vision that she had for the program that was shared with the faculty. So clearly not surprised in any way, shape, or form to see her back here. The good news is we've kept in touch all these years, not knowing that either one of us would be in this position. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just great to work with her and have the utmost respect and admiration for her as a leader and as a person.
You talk about her building a team and casting a vision. How has she done that with an Illuminate in a way that, you know, even with the change here for you in the last couple of months, you've been able to kind of get on board quickly?
Right. Clearly knowing the vision she has for Baylor. So if we anchor in her inauguration speech, I play that in my mind several times. We need a Baylor that. And her vision of Baylor being involved in not only national but international conversations, because we ought to be, and we have something to say in our position, our mission, our vision, and then the goals and objectives associated with each one of the schools, the faculty, the staff throughout. So we get to do this, and I will always say that. So when she's really stirred by Baylor has a significant place in the greater conversation, not just the educational arena, but all spokes and several different stakeholders. So that's fun to work alongside. So with that charge, we then proceed with Illuminate, the academic strategic plan that in many ways was well on its way when I assumed the role of heading that up for the university.
When she came to you with this opportunity, what was your reaction?
I took a deep breath.
Sure.
And then so the good news is I started with the vice or with the provost office in Pat Neff in October. So I had a sense of what was going on. So what I could do is take all the work that had been done to date. So looking at she and I had a conversation. There were several conversations in April and then assumed that role knowing that we'd make a presentation to the regents at their mid-May meeting. And so could take the portfolio of work that had been done, mobilize that further to get that in the final stages, and then certainly working with marketing to develop the Illuminate plan that we're using as a basis for going forward.
To make sure we're not using terminology that maybe someone listening doesn't know about. When we talk about Illuminate, could you give just a brief nutshell version of what Illuminate is and what this academic strategic plan is going to do?
Yeah, this is a build-out of pro-futurists, which might be another word as we talk about that. So certainly the Baylor vision, it's the next step. And so we call it Illuminate. Illuminate actually had reference in pro-futurists, the wording, and to bring light to things, as many of us know. So it is to bring further light to pro-futurists. The document itself and the go-forward theme is called Illuminate. When I think of Illuminate from an academic strategic plan perspective, there are four pillars and then five main initiatives that we landed on that the region saw and certainly affirmed as we go forward. So Illuminate, when I think about it, I think four pillars, five initiatives. Here's the overall budget. Here's the development plan or campaign plan to help fund this. That includes graduate professional education. But again, our core is four pillars, five initiatives.
It's going to guide where Baylor becomes
absolutely.
An institution and how it grows in its mission.
Right, as any plan should do. And what it does is give us a direction. What it says is here are the areas of focus. Here's the areas of investment. We want to be a top highest rated research university. So when you see the term R1 or Tier 1, R1, T1, those are references to really achieving greater research, which clearly has an impact on our core transformative undergraduate educational perspective. And so greater research actually means even higher quality, more in-depth quality in the classroom for undergraduates and graduate students alike.
It's very exciting, and obviously we talk about this plan as you helped to implement it. We talk about the fact you came on in mid-May in this role. What came next? Once you agreed to complete and implement the new strategic plan, what were the immediate tasks and priorities at hand?
So I refer to mid-May, May 12th, as phase one. So right now we're in phase two. So sitting here in July, we're in phase two. Phase three is in the fall. So phase two means instead of building out the content of each of the five initiatives, so that would be health, data sciences, materials, science, human flourishing and ethics, and then Baylor and Latin America, those are the five. Instead of building out content, what I'm doing, and this is real exciting, and it's exciting for President Livingstone as we talk about this, is to pull faculty together this summer and probably early into the fall, whose focus in their academic discipline is on process, systems, creativity, design, group dynamics, ecosystems, interactions of things. So process-oriented faculty that would pull from humanities, engineering, law, business, health. So all the disciplines, I'm pulling faculty together not to represent their discipline or their group, but to bring their mind, their training, their deep dive discipline in an ideation session, which I've had several to date, to design the process for implementing Illuminate. We can look at this in many businesses, but I would say, and I'll go out on a limb here, we need to fact check this. Universities don't do this. And I'm sitting together with a whiteboard in front of us with faculty from philosophy, nutrition, public health, psychology, finance, economics, law, to design a process for going forward. So it's informed by our deeply embedded expertise as professionals, as academics, to really move this plan. So with that, if we're designing it, we're going to have buy-in. And it doesn't mean we'll agree all the time, but the notion of buy-in. And so what that does is increase our successful implementation, increases the likelihood of success, also increases the likelihood of really deep dive ideas that are not only within the initiatives, but across initiatives. So when we look at an idea formulated by faculty or by an interdisciplinary group of faculty, that may relate to our health initiative, also human flourishing. It may actually have a data sciences piece, and it may have a Baylor and Latin America piece. So it may have four of our initiatives. So we are, again, you go back to Dr. Livingstone's inaugural address, we need a Baylor that. Baylor has a place in complex conversations motivated by our plan, which says here's the arena in which we want to operate, and let's go forward with depth and breadth associated with those five areas.
We are talking to Dr. Gary Carini, Baylor's Vice Provost for Graduate Professional Education. You talk about working with the faculty. You've worked with a few dozen of them, more than 60 in these design sessions. You know, you talked about bringing them all together. What are some of the common themes that you hear from faculty?
There's so many levels. One is kind of most fun as we observe their faculty that are coming together that don't normally come together just based on our daily activities here at the university that are brought together that didn't know that each one was working at Baylor having common areas of research. So nutrition and neuroscience faculty came together. Each had been here for 10 plus years. They didn't know the research the other was doing. They now have a team that they're joining of further researchers for their particular work. That's exciting stuff. I would say the other piece that's fascinating is there are differences within those disciplines that I mentioned, but they all kind of end up looking at process and lines and boxes and the notion of including people and, gosh, getting different stakeholders and getting different opinions and building trust in this process culturally as we go forward. I think that's certainly of the utmost importance that we all know that we're going here and we're really collectively, all of us, each one of us individually and then as groups, converging on this notion of excellence. The great theme that cuts across both of those sub-themes is there is so much entrepreneurial spirit, I think, at Baylor that is just pent up. That is ready to be unleashed. As I talk to faculty, the ideas are incredible. And one of the privileges of being in this position is I get to have those conversations and I'm really stirred by the excellent ideas that we need to unleash and mobilize as we look at our role in the provost's office, in my view, as a service center for the university to bring about their success, there being different stakeholders, students, faculty, staff, alums, and beyond, we get to serve that group to mobilize Baylor to achieve that vision. So that's fun to do. So
this is Baylor Connections. Our guest today is Dr. Gary Carini, Baylor's Vice Provost for Graduate Professional Education, longtime professor in the Handkammer School of Business, professor of management. And Dr. Carini, you talk about putting the team dynamic hat. I want to ask you, what areas of expertise have you brought into this work that you're doing now as you work with faculty and the president and other stakeholders?
Well, now you've got me. I've got to actually walk the talk. So you're asking me to sure. walk the talk. Right, I've got to walk the talk. So I teach this stuff and have worked with outside companies. So two areas that I see. One is training and strategy. And really that's that go forward, vision, mission, direction. What do we do? What do we not do? How do we get it done? And the second is in the area that is where Linda Livingstone and I, President Livingstone and I, share in organization behavior. And that's the notions of leadership, group dynamics, teams, input of people, looking at input of people, looking at stakeholders that are important in that process. So I would say strategy gives me a structure of content and where we what are we doing? What's that content? Organization behavior gives you a notion of process. How do you move things forward? And as I, in my mind, don't divide up the world, but always think in facets of what's the content, what's the process. And sometimes we mix those two, and that's fine. I want to, with that, going back to your question, how do we build an agile organization? And we see that as a buzzword. I can do, you know, look this up on my phone and see 1,000 references in 2 seconds to the word agile and flexible. But we need to do that. And we need to look at, as we teach economies of scale, economies of scope as we go forward, because that achieves excellence. We get things done quickly. We give things traction. I think my strategy background would suggest that the education industry as a whole is antiquated, and we can certainly support that. It is ripe for innovation. And so as I put on my innovation hat, along with many others, when I talk to the faculty, that's where they are too. So that's not uniquely me in any way. We get to innovate within what I would see as a tired industry to create new things, new ways of delivering knowledge, depth of knowledge to students, both undergrad and grad, and then beyond as we look at certificate programs. So I get to do the strategy stuff, which is that overall content, what is the it and process, how do we get there? There are three questions that I ask of staff and faculty. Where are we today? Where are we going to go? How do we get there? So three basic questions that have incredibly complex answers. So I want us to certainly use the past and respect the past. I respect the traditions of Baylor. They inform our faith foundation. And then where are we going? Here are the ideas of faculty. How can we get there very efficiently and very effectively, quickly? And so, you know, what I can't say to faculty is, hey, if you have a new course idea, it's going to take us 2 years to get that on the books. That's not okay. So we need to do things quickly because the clock is ticking. We have students with whom we need to interface with new knowledge and to develop skills, knowledge, and abilities on their part so they can be equipped for the future to add value in their organizations. And so, again, a lot of stuff there that deals with strategy and organization behavior that I converge on and get to actually implement.
You could probably go a lot of different directions with this, but I'll ask you because I know we have a lot of people in the Baylor family who lead organizations or have leadership roles in an organization themselves. You talk about those questions. Where are we now? Where are we going? How do we get there? What is the biggest key in a complex organization when approaching those questions with various stakeholders? For you, if you could give a takeaway or two.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. In terms of, I think of we need to do that with pursuing trust, internal trust. So it's I think the answer is very much an organization culture question. How do we build an organization that has trust in leadership and one another, and then with that is the confidence to go forward? I think many of the things that President Livingstone said in the inaugural address, we need a Baylor that. Again, I key on that phrase in our discussion here, going forth with confidence that we do have something to say. So there's trust internally and then confidence to go forward, and those are the two aspects that come forward. I think as you look at leadership throughout the university, whether it's in the different schools or in PatNEF and gosh, so many staff leaders as well in different places, going forward with that confidence, we can get it. We can get this done, and we need your ideas to do it. So as a leader, no one leader has all the answers, but the best leaders really look for answers within the team or teams that are working, that have hands-on in those situations. Thursday of this week, we'll hold a retreat with support staff. Support staff was instrumental in the success of our online MBA program. We could not have done it. We can come up as faculty with curriculum, but we can't get this implemented. So the support staff, now faced with several graduate professional programs, really is key. Their insights are key into the success of implementing not only the content but the process aspects of that graduate professional education offering. So get to do that, and we look for answers there. They've got incredible knowledge, skills, and abilities that are valued by this organization, by Baylor. They are key stakeholders, and so let's bring them in to get their ideas that they get to author and implement so that we can achieve success as an organization.
Visiting with Dr. Gary Carini, Baylor's Vice Provost for Graduate Professional Education. Dr. Carini, we've just got a few more minutes, but I want to ask you a little bit about that graduate professional education side of things. You mentioned you teach strategic management courses at Baylor's executive MBA programs in Austin and Dallas. What's unique about the opportunity for you and other Baylor professors, as well as the university as a whole, to offer educational opportunities to working professionals to enhance their career goals?
Right. It falls in the category of we get to do that. And so there are, as we build that out, and the reason for different offerings is there are four areas. One is we're looking at offerings not only degrees, but also certificate programs across areas. And I've got incredible ideas already from faculty that I've talked to faculty about. So with that is career launch. So I'm just starting out my career. I'm trying to build kind of a career depth. So I'm trying to build more depth. I want to stay within my industry like healthcare, but instead of just accounting, I want to add marketing. I want to add finance. I want to add maybe some IT, some leadership. So there's that. So I want to stay within my industry. Others, I want to pivot away from my industry, but I want to learn more about other industries, the notion of competition, the notion of markets. We get to train in that area. And then I think the fourth area is a complete different career. We think of mid-career changes that people often make. How can Baylor be instrumental in thinking about that? I've talked to alums that, may have grown up in the healthcare world, say physicians that are alums of our MBA program. And they want to learn something about stock trading. Well, we've got a business school that can help them with that. And so are there certificate programs in that or in other areas, in cybersecurity? What are we doing there for professionals that have had a focus on IT but want to do more in cyber specifically? Baylor has an expertise. Let's mobilize that. As you look at changes in the accounting world with online auditing, how do we do that? As we look at wellness, we might have somebody that is teaching, but they want to do more in the wellness area. So a master's degree in nutrition and then maybe a doctorate makes sense all of a sudden. Maybe that's mid-career. We get to do that. And so that's that excellence that we want to pursue.
You know, we mentioned some at the beginning of the program, nearly a dozen programs in business, education, law, nursing, physical and occupational therapy, and social work. How much has the demand for graduate professional education shaped that direction? It seems like it's trending that way. There's more and more of a need for that.
Yeah, read one article a couple days ago that said there's an estimated market, total market, across all those areas that you mentioned beyond of 150 million people.
Wow.
So as you look at online offerings, the U.S. geography doesn't constrain us. The second largest second greatest growth rate of an online program is a Master of Social Work right now. And although that doesn't come to mind for many of us, if you look at the demand for social workers in the future, in the new healthcare economy, which, by the way, we don't know precisely what that's going to look like, but the belief is the role of the social worker in many, many different ways is different from that of today. So the jobs are moving in that direction. What do social workers do? Their notion of community, of connectedness, of interactions, of things, whether it's people, places, they're very focused on context. So they bring a lot within that discipline of social work to what we believe the healthcare economy would come. Therefore, it's the second fastest growing online degree, of which we have an offering, as you mentioned.
That's very exciting. You're 150 million people possibly looking for this. That's an amazing number.
Yeah, not all of them will go to Baylor, but we wouldn't mind if they did.
We'll get a lot of them.
We'll get a lot of them. That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, Dr. Crainer, we are winding down on the program. We've talked to you about graduate professional education. We've talked about Illuminate. And I want to ask you, as we wind down here, being able to help navigate Baylor into these visions presented by Illuminate or into these growth areas, what are you most excited about? What are you most excited about the Baylor family seeing and learning in the months ahead?
I think the ideas that are surfacing are incredible. And we get to see that this is a place that deserves serious attention on the national and international front based on our contribution to the greater dialogue, whether that's in a scholarly community or in the business community, in the not-for-profit community, in churches, just throughout. What is most exciting, again, are the ideas that are here and ready to be mobilized. And so that really stirs me, and I think that stirs others as we interface and talk about what those ideas are. Not just ideas on paper, but let's get those done. And so that's exciting.
We'll look forward to hearing more as we go forward.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Dr. Gary Carini, Baylor's Vice Provost for Graduate Professional Education, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online at baylor.edu/connections, and you can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for joining us on Baylor Connections.